Habana. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm glad to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. Amen. So thankful for His mercy. Amen. 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 He alone is my heart's desire. Just love that song. Amen. You glad to be here this morning? I'm glad to see you all this morning, because for a while there we didn't know who was going to be here and who wasn't. And you know, they were telling me, "Oh, I don't know. You might have to lead singing. You might have to play the piano." Leave it. No, I don't know. But I'm glad for all of God's gifts. Amen. And it wouldn't be a service if you weren't here. So we're thankful for that this morning, and we had the opportunity to watch the services back there at Literal Life Church. Brother Paul LaFontaine, it's their anniversary meetings back there. Brother Eli and Brother Doug are back there, and Brother Eli preached yesterday morning, and then they also have been giving some reports and testimonies about the Spanish translation project. And just what a blessing that is, amen, and will be as it finishes out. The impact of that is we just won't know. We won't know until we get to the other side what the impact is. And you all have a part in that, because that's been a body work, amen. And this body has supported that work. So what an honor, right? What a privilege. You know, it still astounds me every time I read it, but that statement that Brother Branham made, that we are co-workers with God, that He made us co-workers with Him. He didn't have to do it that way. He's sufficient, amen? But He wanted us to have a part in the work, and yet it's Him working through us to do that part. It's Him giving us the strength, the ability, the resources, everything that we need, but yet allowing us to participate in it and receive the blessing and the glory from it. What a marvelous work, amen? And so, you know, just like the translators of the King James Bible probably had no idea the impact that they would have, or the scribes that for years, you know, faithfully transcribed the Word of God so that we could have it. And just think of the impact, or even the impact of those that lived out their lives that were recorded in the Bible. Ruth had no idea that in 2020 we would be talking and reading her story and seeing ourselves in that. She had no idea the impact, but think about the eternal consequences. And on the other side, there's going to be some stories. Amen. Amen. So I'm thankful that we have a part in that. So anyway, we just want to continue to pray for them. Those meetings, they're concluding. I suppose they've just concluded. They're 3 hours ahead of us. So just want to pray for them for traveling mercies as they come back. Amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. I didn't mean to keep you sitting there. We appreciate you, though. Amen. Yes. Sister Victoria just had a baby, and she's up here playing the piano. Amen. Praise the Lord. Congratulations, by the way. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, just have a little Sunday school lesson for you this morning. Since it's Sunday, amen. And amen. We're all being schooled by the Holy Spirit, our schoolmaster. And we are growing in Christ. Amen. So I'd like to turn to the scripture, Isaiah chapter 9. Just read one verse here as a text this morning. Pulled up the wrong file here. Isaiah 9:6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Often we read this around Christmas time, as this is the prophecy speaking about the birth of Christ. But it also speaks about his character and what he is, and what the prophecy speaking about what he will be. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we just count it such an honor, Lord, to be here this morning. Lord, to be with the purchase of your blood, and Lord, to carry your name before the nations. Lord, what an honor to be an ambassador, Lord, to this world. And Lord, we don't take that burden lightly, Lord. We want to fulfill your will in our lives, Lord, to the fullest, Lord. We want to walk in your will and your word. And Lord, I just pray that you would instruct us this morning. Help us, Father, speak, Lord, to our hearts directly, Lord. May it not be words or ideas of man, but may it be the living word of the living God this morning. Lord, I pray if there's any needs here represented in the building, Lord, that you would just touch those needs, Lord, and just be with each one, Father. Be with our pastor, Brother Eli, and the families, Lord, that are traveling. There's many traveling at this time, Lord. We just want to remember them again and just ask you to be with them wherever they are. Bring them back home safe again, Father. And Lord, I just, again, I want to offer a special prayer for our sister Molly Johnson, Lord, and the family there, Lord. Just pray that you just be with them today, Father, and always, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated this morning. Amen. Amen. So, the scripture here in Isaiah that identifies that the Christ prophesies of Christ's being born, the advent of God in flesh. Amen. And it says that what his name shall be called, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These are characteristics of him. Amen. And I want to focus in on this one thing this morning, and that is he is a counselor. And his counsel to us. Amen. So as a counselor, he is the counselor of counselors. Amen. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the prophet of prophets. If he has manifested in some way on earth, or there's a characteristic that manifests, he is the God of that. He created it. So if there are counselors, then he is the great counselor. Amen. And a counselor is someone who advises. Amen. It's someone that you look to for advice, or someone that together with them you'll devise a plan. Right? If you were going to go into a king was going to go into a battle, they would look to their counselors to devise a plan for the battle. Many times we look to professionals as counselors. So, example, if you have things to do with the law, you would look to a lawyer, and they would be a counselor for you. In fact, it's a legal term that someone, a lawyer who's representing someone in a court, is called their counsel. Because they're supposed to represent them, and they're supposed to give them advice on how they present themselves in the court. They're supposed to be their representative to the judge, and so they're the counsel. But also, they would a lawyer would give you advice on, you know, if there's a tax lawyer, on taxes or whatever their expertise may be. They would give you that advice. A doctor is also someone we would look to as a professional counselor. Right, you wouldn't go out and talk to the person behind the counter at a fast food restaurant about your medical problems. You would go to talk to a doctor, right? You would accept the counsel of someone who was part of that profession or had expertise in that area. Amen. And so, because your life may depend on it. Right? It's important. The counsel that you receive is going to determine the steps that you take. It's going to determine the path that you walk down. If in medical profession, oftentimes they'll say, get a second opinion on something. Right? Because they want the counsel to be complete. One doctor may only have a piece of it. This doctor may have another piece. And so together they can kind of piece together and hopefully give you good advice on how you might proceed. And trust is imperative when it comes to counseling. Amen? You must believe that the person that you're receiving counsel from, one, that they know what they're talking about, and that they're giving you good advice, and you must believe that they have your best interest at heart. If you've got a lawyer representing you and he's got a conflict of interest, you won't have confidence in his counsel. Amen? And so trust is the foundation of receiving and giving counsel. Their motive must be right. And it's not enough just to have a good motive. They must know what they're talking about. Amen. Now, in the Bible, we see many, many kings and rulers that are described throughout the Scripture. And almost all of them, when you see the story or as the story unfolds in the Bible about a king or a ruler or somebody in power, there are always counselors around them. You'll see men, they bring men and sometimes women in as advisors. Daniel and the Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they were wise men that were looked to advise King Nebuchadnezzar. Right? And so we see, the pharaohs of Egypt, they had their wise men, their astrologers. Often they were priests of whatever religion they had. But always there were men counseling those in leadership, helping them make decisions. Now we know that these things in the Scripture are types for us. Right? Because if we look at the natural things that happen in the Old Testament or even in the New Testament, many of those things speak about our spiritual experience. Right? We're not out with swords cutting down enemies. But we are with the sword of the Spirit battling demon enemies. Right? It's a natural and a spiritual. So this carries through in this example as well, where we may not be kings sitting on thrones, right, with all kinds of counselors around us, but yet there are those that are trying to give you counsel every day. Amen. There's opportunity to receive counsel because there are many voices in this world that want you to listen to them. So these kings, they would have, as I mentioned before, they might have military advisors, they might have generals. You know, if an enemy army was coming, they might ask, what's our position? Right? Can we defend ourselves? Are we prepared? Can we go out and fight? Can we go out and attack this enemy? What is your advice? And then when we make a decision to do it, how do we do it? Right? Do I send this group or that group? They would advise them, and often the king would follow the advice of his counselors, either to his benefit or to his detriment. Amen. We see that kings like David and Solomon, they used the priests, the priesthood, acted as counselors for them. They would give them advice. Prophets would give them advice. They had Samuel and Nathan as counselors to the king, and they would tell them. They would give them advice as they saw fit, or they would seek the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord would speak through them and give them the counsel that they needed. I want to give you an example here in the Scripture. In 2 Samuel 16, 23, as I said, this is a little Sunday school lesson, so we're going to read a lot of scriptures this morning. So they're speaking about this man named Ahithophel, right? He was a counselor to King David and to King Solomon. To David and to Absalom, his son. It says the counsel of Ahithophel, which he had counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. So well respected was this man as a counselor that they said, it's like God speaking to us. With such wisdom he offered counsel and things that he advised us to them to do, it worked out. His counsel was good. As wise as the oracle of God. That's high praise. Amen. So if you know the story of King David and Absalom, you know that Absalom rebelled against King David. Right? And Ahithophel stayed with Absalom and advised him. He became his chief counselor. Amen. David goes and is driven out of Jerusalem. David is out and he's a fugitive. And Absalom now is sitting on the throne. And Ahithophel is advising Absalom. The tribes of Israel are taking sides. The groups, you know, in Israel. Some are with David and some are aligning with Absalom. A rebellion is in full force. And there's a friend who's loyal to David, and his name is Hushai. Amen? And David sends Hushai back to the palace. And he says, you are an advisor. You are known as a counselor. You go back to Absalom and try and defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. Amen? So Hushai does that. So now Absalom, who is now in this position, he's a leader and a ruler, and but yet David is still alive, and so he's rebelling against his father David, and he's trying to figure out how is he going to fight David, right? That's the next step. Yes, he's got Jerusalem, but David still has an army, and he's got to defeat David before he can be the king. Just stay with me now. Amen. And so he asks his advisors, his counselors, what shall we do? Now Ahithophel gives him good advice. He says, attack him now. He's hurting. He's vulnerable. He hasn't had a chance for his army to get together. Attack him now and you'll destroy him. And Hushai, who was there as a loyal counselor to David, but pretending to be a loyal counselor to Absalom, gives him the opposite advice. He says, no, don't do that. He says, if you attack him now, he's like a wounded animal. He'll fight with all of his fury, but he says, just wait and gather your forces. Wait until all the men of Israel come around you and gather together. You'll build up, you'll be in force, and you'll have a chance to fall on him and destroy him. Right. Now Hushai, his motive was not in favor of Absalom. So you have two counselors. Absalom is in this position where he can listen to one or the other. And the choice that he makes is going to determine what happens to him. Amen. The Bible said that the Lord had purposed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel. So even though they acknowledged, hey man, this guy knows what he's talking about. it's like asking the oracles of God. Absalom, receive the counsel of Hushai, whose motive was to defeat him. Because God had purposed to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. Amen. You see, God's purpose, it doesn't matter how smart Ahithophel was. It doesn't matter how good his counsel was. And his counsel was good. If Absalom had followed his counsel, it would have been, you know, different outcome. He followed Hushai's counsel, waited. David was able to regroup, get across the river, gather his forces together, and defeat Absalom. And that was Absalom's undoing. Now, we know that was God's will. That was God's plan. Amen? But you see, no matter how smart Ahithophel was, how good his counsel was in the natural, he was working against the word of God. And Hushai, who it didn't say his counsel was like the oracles of God, right? He just comes out of nowhere, but because he was working according to the word of God, God's plan, his counsel stood. Amen. So, when we as believers look to the counsel of others, that counsel can be useful to us, but it is limited in its value unless it lines up with the Word of God. It must always flow through the Word of God. And if you're receiving counsel from an unbeliever, it's always very limited in its value. What do I mean by that? Well, I wouldn't go ask my doctor for spiritual advice. Right? I know that a doctor can help me to a certain extent. And I would accept their counsel up to a point. But up to a point, they can't help me. And there's other areas where they have no business giving advice. Amen? So no matter how good his advice was, Ahithophel was working against God. Let me give you another example in the scripture. 1 Kings chapter 12. Verse 6. Now King Rehoboam was Solomon's son. Right? So Solomon has died. And during Solomon's reign, there's been a lot of unrest in the kingdom. It's still a united Israel, united kingdom. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men. So he's taking over. And he's wanting to know, how should I kick this thing off, right? How should I get started? There's rumblings over here, and there's seeds of rebellion over there, and you know the people aren't satisfied, and there's fractures. They're not united in mind and heart, and so he's wondering, what should I do? So the king Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do you advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. So in other words, he says, approach them softly. Be a servant king. Right? 8. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. So he rejects the counsel of the elders, and he says, no, you know, these guys, I know them. We grew up together. We're a new generation. You old guys don't know what you're talking about. Right? You're old fogies, old fashioned. You know, come into the new millennium. Right? We've got iPhones. You don't even know how to work an iPhone. Right? You're old-fashioned, your old technology, your old ways. There's a new generation coming up. And he chose to listen to them. Now, what happened was, he listened to them, and the kingdom split. He made it worse instead of making it better. And that's how we ended up with a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. So, but it was because he refused the counsel of the elders. It's always a good policy for us to look to those that have experience. Right? These were men that had been with Solomon for years. They had seen many things. Right? They had lived a life. They had some experience. And yet Rehoboam, through his rebellion, chose not to receive that counsel. And it was detrimental to him. So as I said, these are natural examples in the Bible that speak about us, and they speak about our spiritual walk. We have the power to choose lots of free advice that's out there. Amen? And what's interesting about these advisors in the Bible is really they had the power. If you go back to the story of Ahithophel and Hushai, when Ahithophel's counsel was rejected, he went and hung himself. And you might look at that and go, wow, a little extreme, right? Man, talk about getting your feelings hurt. So one time I don't listen to you and now you're hanging yourself, right? But you see, there was a position, there was a prestige that would go with these counselors. In fact, if a king was following the counsel of these counselors, if you think about it, they were actually running things. They didn't have the place, the position of the king, but in all practicality, they were the ones making the decisions. And so, the one who gives you advice, whose advice you follow, you're giving them power in your life. Oh, we're going to get to something here when we speak about that. Amen? You're giving them authority in your life. There's power that's being exerted over you, if I could put it that way. Almost like they're the one in charge. Amen. Now, we have a king, and our king doesn't need any advisors. Amen. Our king is not like a natural king. Hallelujah. Our king has a counsel, and it's his own counsel. Amen. Amen. Psalm 33:10 says, "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. For the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations." Oh, what a beautiful picture. So he has a counsel. He doesn't need counselors because he is the counselor of counselors. And it says that his counsel will stand forever. And brother, sister, he has shared those thoughts to all generations. That is his counsel. His thoughts of his heart to all generations. He's written it out for us in his Bible. His counsel, his thoughts. Amen? And he has become our counselor. Oh, hallelujah. I'm thankful for that this morning, aren't you? We have access to the counselor of counselors. You see, we've been given the ability to make choices, just like the kings of old. We may not be sitting, up on a throne or anything, but we have a free moral agency. Just like a king has a kingdom and an ability to choose for that kingdom, we've been given a life and we've been given the ability to choose, make our own decisions. Is that right? And so we have counsel. counselors that are trying to give us advice on how to make those choices. But I'm so thankful that we have a mighty counselor. Amen. It matters who we listen to, just like it mattered who Absalom listened to. His choice determined his fate. Now I want to give you another example out of the Bible. Exodus chapter 18, verse 13. We're going to read this little portion. It's a little lengthy. But stay with me and we'll get to a point on this. Amen? Amen. Amen. Is this all right this morning? Amen. Verse 13. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from morning until evening, all day long. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone? And all the people stand by thee from morning unto even." Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good." That's pretty bold to say to a prophet, huh? He said, "Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel." He's become a counselor to the prophet. Amen. He says, "I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God, and thou shalt teach them the ordinances and the laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, shalt thou provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace." So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said. He hearkened to his counsel. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his own way into his own land. So we see the prophet Moses, and we see Jethro, his father-in-law, has a very unique perspective, right? He has experience. He's older than Moses. He's seen some things, and he has some good advice for him. His motive and objective was good, right? He wasn't trying to take over. He was trying to help Moses. He was trying to show him a different perspective, right? He wasn't trying to usurp his authority. He wasn't trying to be the prophet or to be the leader for the people. He was thinking about Moses' well-being, and he was thinking about the people's well-being. So that was his motive. And when he submitted his advice or his counsel, he submitted it to the under the word of God. He submitted and said, "You are the voice of God to the people." Right? This is God's plan. And he said, "If God command thee to do this." Right? He reminded him back, "Look, you know, I'm going to give you advice, but if God commands you to do this, consider this advice," right? It was evident that he had proceeded with wisdom, and he proceeded in care and love for Moses and the people. Now, Moses had to humble himself. Right? I mean, he could have said, look, man, you're talking to the prophet of the age. God speaks to me. He doesn't speak to you. Right? He could have said, why didn't the pillar of fire come down and give me this advice? Right? He could have said any number of things. But to be able to receive counsel, you have to humble yourself and admit that somebody else might have a better idea on it. Amen. Now we want to compare this approach with Dathan and Korah. Right? Because today, brother, sister, that's what the ministry is being called. Dathan and Korah. Right? Now the difference was Dathan and Korah tried to usurp Moses' authority. They tried to remove the headship that God had put in place. They tried to lord over Moses and the people. They tried to set themselves up as rulers and leaders. They had a different motive. They had a different objective altogether. Right? And it was a completely different situation. But so we see, on one hand, we see the proper headship of a prophet placing men under him. Amen. Admitting that he can't do it all himself, but yet remaining in that position. It didn't weaken his position at all. It didn't change his authority or his place. No one stepped into his place. In fact, his ministry expanded. That's actually what happened. It didn't diminish his ministry. It multiplied his ministry. Dathan and Korah wanted to diminish his ministry. Let's read some statements on this. Brother Branham says, and why I'm against organized religion, he says, Korah in number 16:1, if you'd like to read, Korah tried the very same thing. He got all the Levites together. He got some of the celebrities, the high men, the great men, the holy men. Him and Dathan got together and said, it's not right. One man trying to be over us all. Now, this is very similar to what Jethro said, isn't it? Jethro said, it's not good for you to try and do it all on your own. But with spiritual eyes, you can discern the motive and the objective and the spirit behind each one. One was a good counselor. The other was false counsel. It's not right. One man trying to be over us all. And so they tried to get an organization started together. They come up before Moses and Aaron, who God had chosen for the work. They told them they took too much upon themselves. This is very similar to what Jethro said, isn't it? That the whole congregation was holy and they had a right. And he quotes the scripture, in the multitude of counsel, their safety, of course, they say. Now look what he says. That doesn't apply to Christianity. That's in war. We're going to get to that in a moment. He says, notice there's a whole lot of difference. The difference was they were trying to usurp the headship. They were trying to bring a multitude of counselors to take the place of God's provided vessel. God's provided way of speaking to his people, which was always, Brother Branham said, through one channel, one man, one prophet at a time. Right? Now that scripture is true. Let's read this scripture, Proverbs 11:14. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. That's the word of God. And Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Right? So the difference is that Brother Branham said, he said, that's in war. He says, that doesn't apply to Christianity. In other words, what he's saying is that doesn't apply to God's headship. God doesn't run his business. He doesn't run his kingdom by committee. He doesn't let a bunch of counselors get together and everybody vote and decide how they're going to do things. He chooses one man, one head. He works through that headship. But then in the example that we see, but then it's multiplied out. And these men that were under the headship of Moses had become a multitude of counselors to Israel. You see the proper placement of God's scripture. The multitude of counselors is fine if they're under the single headship. Amen. And brother, sister, that's the same way in your life. You might get advice from mom, dad, friends, this one, that one. But it all should come under the headship of the Holy Spirit. If each of those counselors has their, they're trying to take their own place as in headship, it's confusion. It'll never work. One head, one leader, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Now look what he says in the oddball. He says, listen, the word that we preach and the word that I said this morning, God hiding behind skins. Badger skins, God hiding behind the skin of a man. See? That's what he did. When God was manifest in the world, he was hiding behind a veil. Behind the skin of a man called Jesus. He was veiled and hiding behind the skin of a man called Moses. And they were gods. Not gods, but they were God, the one God, just changing his mask. In other words, God was using them, moving, working through them, right? One was all the fullness, Christ. Moses was part of God, a representative of God, a prophet, right? He says, changing his mask, doing the same thing each time, bringing his word. See, God made it that way. He knows that man's got to see something. He says, there isn't every one of us born into the world, like I was telling you this morning, nobody was daring to follow Moses in there, talking about in behind that veil. God never did deal with two. He deals with one always. No one would dare sin impersonate Moses. It was death. Natural death to try and impersonate him to go into the pillar of fire with him. So people are not all made. You're not born in that way to break into that supernatural. But God set some on the earth to represent him as an ambassador from him. Right? We're not made like Brother Branham was. Right? We don't have the gifts. We weren't made that. We aren't constructed that way. And that's not our purpose. He said, an ambassador is ordained of God to go into the great unknown supernatural and discern and bring out the things that the natural mind cannot perceive. It brings out the mystery of God. It foretells things and things that has been and things that will be. What is it? God behind skins, human skin. Exactly right. God working through man. Amen? And then in Satan's Eden, he says, I was trying to catch up on some of my interviews today, this morning and this afternoon, and I still have many, many to go. Just like Moses. Right? He says, I believe it was Jethro told Moses one time, said, it's just too much for you. So we've got plenty of brothers here on your problems. And every one of them has been legitimate and they're fine things that have to be taken care of. So he's saying, look, you've all got, I mean, I understand why you want an interview. You've got legitimate problems. These aren't frivolous things, right? These are things that need to be addressed. But look at what he says. He says, and I would recommend our pastor or brother man or other ministers of our faith here. You can go to them. Wow, what a different story than what we're being told. Right? Where the prophet has to marry you. Right? Where the prophet has to serve communion to you. Or only the prophet can preach. You see, the difference is counsel of Korah and Dathan and the counsel of Jethro. One's trying to usurp authority, and one is working under the authority of the prophet. Hallelujah. Amen. The ministry, true ministers of the gospel, are not trying to usurp the authority of the prophet. We're trying to work under the authority of the prophet. Amen. Brother Branham said, I would recommend these brothers. He says, you need an interview? You've got a problem? I would recommend them. You can go to them, he says. They would tell you just exactly the thing to do. Amen. They are counselors. Amen. Amen. You can go to your pastor as a counselor. Because God has placed these gifts in the body. Now, if he's a true counselor, he's subject to the word of God. He's under the leadership of the great counselor. And he'll work according to that, his word. Amen. He says, you can go to them and they would tell you just exactly the thing to do. Some people, their children are intermarrying or things that's wrong. These men can help you just the same as anyone else. That sounds like a pretty good endorsement, don't you think? He says, these men can help you just the same as anyone else because they're servants of Christ. Why? Because it's the great counselor is the one giving the advice. He says, go to them. And I'm sure they will give you the help that you need. I can't get to all of them. And brother, sister, he's off the scene now. Right? But that's the beauty of God's plan, is his ministry doesn't end because of the those that are under the headship of his ministry. It just continues to multiply. The message goes on. Because those that are in a position under that leadership continue. Just as in this case, his influence was multiplied. The influence that God was using through that channel. You understand what I mean? He says, I can't get to all of them. There's just so many everywhere you go. They just keep accumulating higher and higher, you see? And you don't want to get to everyone. You want to get to every one of them, but you can't do it. But I'm constantly praying that God and somehow will work it out all right for you. And then in time evangelism, he says, he had 2.5 million people out there in that desert. Now, brother and sister, I don't know how many bride are on the earth right now or how many people are on this earth that claim to believe this message. But I guarantee you it's too much for one man to counsel each one of them. Even if it's just a matter of geography. One person couldn't be too, you know, all those places at once. And this was the situation Moses was in. 2.5 million people out there in the desert. Jethro come up and said, Moses, it's going to kill you, your burden's so great. God took part of his spirit and put it on the 70 elders, and they prophesied. And look what he says. It never weakened Moses a bit. But Moses was still the last answer, because he had, thus saith the Lord. Those men were under the headship that God had placed in Moses. Amen. And then events made clear by prophecy. Now Micaiah said, I just say what God says. And the next morning, you know the story here. For the sake of time, we won't expound it too much here. The next morning they come out and the kings put on their robes, sat in the gate, and all of the celebrity and the prophets standing there and said, now fanatic, what do you say about it? He said, go on up. Now, so there the kings were asking for counsel. Right? They were going to go to war. And they wanted the counsel. They said they wanted the counsel of God. All right? Now, one of them actually did want the counsel of God, Jehoshaphat, and the other, Ahab, didn't really want the counsel of God. He wanted what he wanted. Right? So they bring all these prophets, and the prophets all prophesy, oh yeah, go up, you're going to be fine, you're going to bring them back, right? You're going to accomplish what you set out to do. And then Micaiah says, they asked him, now fanatic, what do you say about it? He said, go on up. Well, the whole reason he was there is Jehoshaphat wanted the counsel of God. Yeah. Right? And he could sniff out false counselors. He said, go on up. He said, but I seen Israel scattered like sheep having no shepherd. So he took his hand and smacked him in the mouth. The prophet smacked the prophet in the mouth. Now both of those anointed prophets standing there prophesying, 400 against one, that looked pretty strong. Now in the multitude of counsel, it's not always safety. Why? Because they were not under the word of God. Right? He said it depends what they're counseling about or what their counsel is. There wasn't safety there for that king. He took the multitude for their counseling to be right. But if he had just stopped and turned back the scroll and looked where Elijah had just said, right? What was the word of God? So it doesn't matter how many voices, it's always got to be according to the word of God. Even if it's just one voice screaming out with the word, that's the counsel we take. Amen. Hallelujah. So there is a fundamental battle today where spirits are trying to attack the ministry that is actually continuing. It's actually the message, the ministry going on, and they're trying to attack it and place that as Dathan and Korah. Dathan and Korah tried to establish themselves. The ministries of God, these ministers that were under Moses, were established by Moses. Their whole authority flows back to Moses. Think about that for a minute. They didn't stand up before the people and said, you got to listen to me. What did they say? My ministry was established. I was set here in this position because Moses, God through Moses, placed me here. And every minister in this end time work has been established through this end time message. Our authority flows through this message, which is Christ revealed in this age. Paul established those offices. He established that in the New Testament. That was the Word of God, the first church age. And the last church age messenger came back and reaffirmed that and reestablished that ministry. We've been called by this revealed word. We are under the headship of this revealed word. Amen. But it takes humility to accept the counsel when it comes through flawed human flesh. It takes discernment and humility. You look at a vessel and you say, I see all the warts. I see all the flaws. But you've got to be able to hear the counselor speaking through the vessel and receive it as counsel from him. Amen. Now this is where Israel had her fatal flaw in the time of Christ. Luke 7:27. It says, this is he of whom it was written, behold, I send my messenger before my face. That is John the Baptist, right? Which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of a woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Now look, they held Moses in very high regard, right? Moses, to them, Moses was the greatest. I mean, when they referred back, it was Moses gave us the law. Moses, and he was, right? He was a mighty prophet. But here is Jesus saying there is not a greater than this last voice that has been speaking to you. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is even greater than he. And all the people that heard him and all the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God. They rejected John's word. They rejected Jesus' word. They rejected the counsel of God. They couldn't hear the voice of God through the vessel. And look what it says. They rejected the counsel of God against themselves. If you get good counsel and you reject it, it doesn't hurt the counselor. It hurts you.
Amen.
Amen? You're the one that's affected by it. Against themselves, they reject the counsel of God. Lord, let us receive his counsel. Amen. Let us receive his advice, his word, wherever it comes from. So proud that to their detriment, they rejected God's word. May we be humble, brother, sister, that if it's a donkey or a mule that's speaking to you, and it's the word of God, be humble enough to receive it. Because it's only going to hurt you. They rejected the counsel of God against themselves. But the common people heard him. The common people received it. Amen? God said it. I want to receive it. Acts 20:26. We're getting to the end of our scriptures here. Just a few more, all right? Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Paul, all the counsel of God. Now, remember that scripture that we read back in Proverbs, right? In Psalms, where he said that the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. So Paul gave us the full counsel, and it stands forever.
Amen.
And he said those are the thoughts of his heart to all generations. That is the word of God that's been given to us. Amen.
Amen.
He has not shunned to declare all the counsel of God. In other words, it's up to you to receive the counsel of God. It's all there for you. I'm so thankful for that. We want somebody who's an expert. Right? If you need advice on a topic, you want an expert. If you're gonna undertake on a building project, you want to get an expert in, an engineer, an architect, a builder. You want to get those people with that expertise to give you advice, to give you counsel. Amen? And you want them to be on your side. He has declared to us his full counsel. And it's perfect. He is the expert. He knows something about a thing or two, right? He knows everything. What a counselor. What a resource that we have access to this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. As I said before, our king doesn't surround himself with counselors. He doesn't have to go ask advice. You know, when he was making the worlds, he didn't have to go ask the angels. How do I do this? What do you guys think? Let's put it up for a vote. Committee, hey, what do you... Right? He didn't even ask Lucifer for advice. That probably irked him quite a bit too. Amen? Chief cherubim, God never asked me for advice. He doesn't need to. Amen? He doesn't have to ask anybody for advice. Nobody helped him. He did it himself. He's made us so that we need others. Right? We need each other. We need the body and we need him. We're all interdependent. Right? But him in his fullness, he doesn't need anybody. He is that he is. Amen. Who will tell him that his counsel will not stand? Nobody. He is working all things after the counsel of his own will. He gave himself the advice, and he's working it out. Amen? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 16. We're almost finished with these scriptures here. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. So they swear by something. I swear it. I make my oath. And they take that. They take a man at his word when he swears that way. He says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Amen. We don't have a wishy-washy, weak consolation this morning. Brother, sister, we have a strong consolation. When loved ones suddenly pass on or we're going through trials and different things, we have a strong consolation this morning. We who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. So immutable means that it's not changeable, right? It cannot be changed. So his counsel is completely unchangeable. Why? Because it's perfect the first time. God is not going to instruct you to do something that is against his word. He will give you the same advice every single time. He's consistent. I'm so thankful for that, aren't you? Amen. And then finally, Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He gives us his counsel. Right? That's what I love about God. When he points out problems, when his word comes to convict you of sin, he gives you counsel. Why? Because he's on your side. He's a counselor. He cares about you. He's trying to help you. He says, I counsel thee. Now we can accept it or reject it, right? And of course, he's speaking to the church, the general age here. I counsel of thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. We know that in the Laodicean church age. So, brother, sister, he gives us counsel in that scripture, what we need to do to be blessed. Right? What we need to do to remedy the bad situation that we're in. And I'm talking about generally, no matter where we are in our lives. Amen. No matter what situation that we find ourselves in, his counsel is good. Now, he has given us the Holy Spirit. Is that right? Now, the Holy Spirit, the Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit as our comforter, right? In the King James, it says, the comforter shall truly come, right? And I will give you another comfort, and all those words. Now that Greek word is parakletos, right? Which is someone that comes alongside to help you. And it actually has its root in a counsel or a lawyer. Or one who gives you assistance or advice. My. You've been given your own personal counselor. And his counsel is perfect. Amen. His counsel is immutable. His counsel will stand. His counsel is perfect in every situation. So sometimes people try and speak wisdom to us, and we must always bring it back to the Word, because the Holy Spirit will always bring us counsel according to His Word. How could we have any greater counselor? Amen. But He uses men to do it. Now, I use the example of Moses and Jethro, right? Moses recognized that it was God using his father-in-law. Amen. Right? He recognized that he had to humble himself and admit that that counsel was right. That God was using a man to benefit him, to give him good advice. It is so hard for us to do that sometimes. Right? Especially if it comes from a place where we didn't expect it. But God, through His Holy Spirit, promised to speak to us. He promised to lead you. You might be in a situation this morning, you don't know the next step to take. Brother, sister, we have choices every single day. Right? And those choices that we make determine our outcome. Right? I mean, it affects our life. Right? They're important decisions. Sometimes they seem like small choices, but they all add up and they change the course of our life. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit is wanting to give you counsel on every choice you make? That's why He was sent. The problem is people pray and they ask God for counsel, and then they, figuratively speaking, right, they go out and they look for a sign in the heavens. Right? God, come speak to me in a cloud, or write it in the clouds, or send it in a thunderbolt, or speak with an audible voice. Now, God can do all of those things. Right? But He uses men and women. He uses those around you, but it's no less the Holy Spirit doing it. If the Holy Spirit puts something on your pastor's heart to preach to you, and he preaches it to you, that's no less God speaking to you than it would be if he wrote it in the heavens. It's still the Holy Spirit speaking, and we have to receive it that way. We have to humble ourselves and listen for the counselor. Right? Because the Holy Spirit, Brother Branham said, is a gentleman. Right? The scripture likens the Holy Spirit to a dove. He's gentle. Right? He says he's a gentleman. He's not going to force his way in. And if you thoroughly reject his counsel, he's not going to force you. Here's my word. This is my advice to you. This is my counsel. This is the way you should go. And that's your choice to make. So we are kind of like the kings, right? In that way, where it's up to us to make choices. But we can choose to allow Him to sit on that throne. Now remember how I started telling you that it's the counselors, really, in the old days, the kings. They're actually the ones making the decision, but the king is there. The king is the one making the decision. Well, that's the way our free will is, brother, sister. Right? Because we can assert our free will whenever we want. But because of the change in nature that we've received, Our desire is, decision comes, Lord, you direct me. And in that way, he is now sitting on the throne. The Holy Spirit becomes the lead. He takes the leadership in your control tower. Now, your free will can push him out at any time. But because that scripture says you've been given a new heart, right? And then you've been given his spirit, a new spirit, and then his spirit, right? That is the new birth. Where you've been birthed, you're a new creation, right? And that creature is submitted to the Holy Spirit. So now your free will is under subjection to the counselor. Amen. Hallelujah. So we must make sure that we're listening to the right counsel. Brother, sister, there are voices in this age. Many, many voices. And they're all vying for your attention. They're all trying to get you to listen to them. To follow their advice. To follow their counsel. But we've got one counselor. Amen. He uses many vessels. If we can receive it. But he promised that he would lead us through. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You believe that this morning?
Amen.
So let's allow that Holy Spirit. Let's allow him to guide us. We have to allow it. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I want to be able to hear his voice. Amen. When all the other voices, they may have more volume. Right? They may have more flash. They may align with my thinking or my thoughts or my reasoning better. But I want to listen for that still small voice.
Amen.
Amen. Because the counsel that I choose to accept, that's going to set my path.
Amen.
That's going to make the difference. Amen. God bless you this morning. Let's stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. So thankful for his word this morning, aren't you? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Amen. Musicians, if you'd come this morning. Amen. Heavenly Father, you're a good Father, Lord. Lord, we know that you always have our best interests, Lord, in mind. Lord, no matter what we go through, Lord, no matter how the twists and turns of life affect us, Lord, we know that you have our best interests, Lord, in heart. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Father, to listen to your advice, Lord, your counsel, Lord, in all things. Lord, to receive it, Lord, no matter what vessel it's coming through. Lord, I don't know why I preached this morning. Seems like such an odd subject, Father, but Lord, through the foolishness of preaching, Lord, that's how you speak to your people. And Lord, I'm just trusting right now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is moving on our hearts, Lord, and speaking directly to us. Lord, that you will take this word, Lord, that you would apply it to our lives. Lord, is the one who comes alongside and is walking with us. Oh God, I think of so many people, Lord. They walk through this life and truly they walk alone, Lord. They may have friends, they may have family, but they don't have you, Lord. Lord, the Comforter, oh God, it truly is a comfort, Lord. Knowing that you're right with us, Lord. You're alongside of us to help us, Lord. Lord, when decisions come our way, Lord, oh, Lord, we can't make the right choice, Lord. We would get all mixed up, but Lord, you're there, Lord, to lead us and to guide us. We can rely on you, Lord. We can rely on you, Lord, in the hard times. We can rely on you, Lord, in the good times, Lord, that we would not get outside of your word, that we would not step away, Lord, but that we would remain faithful. Lord, we're trusting in you this morning. Thank you for this little group, Lord, this little body here, Father. I pray that you would just bless each one, Father. May each one, Lord, walk in such closeness with your Holy Spirit, Lord. May that their comforter, Lord, may you be the one that they lean on, Father. Lord, we love you and we give you thanks in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You're a good, good Father. Yes, Lord. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Stories of what think your life.